you need to know for every game to make your best bets. Will you fade or will you follow? Welcome to the Weekly Wager. Broadcasting live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios in Milwaukee, alongside Josh DiMaggio, here's Ben Brust.
All right, away we go. Wednesday night live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It's the Weekly Wager, 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. I am indeed not Ben Brust. I am much more handsome and much better at this job.
Wow.
Than Ben Brust. Wow. Alongside Josh DiMaggio, Alex.
Wow. I'm reporting back to Ben Brust.
It was the only Mr. Relevant takeover of Weekly Wager tonight, as Will Summers running the show in for Chris Larson tonight. On ESPN Milwaukee. We have a ton to get to tonight. Obviously, a lot of headlines around the state of Wisconsin going around tonight, making its way around the Twitter sphere as Giannis Antetokounmpo maybe sort of wants out of Milwaukee. We'll get into that. We will talk a little Packers-Bears. We will take a look at week, where are we, 14 of the NFL season?
Yeah, I believe that'd be correct.
Very good. See, I'm great at this show. I'm doing a kick-ass job right off the rip. But Joshy, let's start right there with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So just to walk back through the timeline of the day to set it up for maybe those of you that are just joining us on ESPN Milwaukee or those of you that have not been entirely in the loop of what the hell we're talking about. This morning on the Really Big Show on our sister station, ESPN Cleveland, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst joins those guys, Rizzo and Goldhammer, and says, effectively, hey, Giannis has already asked for a trade. He did it over the summer. He wanted to go to the Knicks, but then he recommitted himself to Milwaukee. But now that they're losing as much as they have been losing, maybe just possibly, he could seek his way out once again. Then, hours later, after that gets picked up, Shams Charania, ESPN NBA insider, tweets, quote, just in, Giannis Antetokounmpo and his agent Alex Tsiratsis have started conversations with the Milwaukee Bucks about the two-time NBA MVP's future and discussing whether his best fit is staying or elsewhere, sources tell ESPN. A resolution is expected in the coming weeks. So Giannis could be, could not be out. That's not anything definitive right there. But as you talked about on Mr. Relevant, Joshy.
Yes.
The most definitive is when somebody starts deleting pictures off their Instagram, that usually tells you something's gone wrong, right? If a girl starts deleting pictures of her boyfriend off the Instagram, what does that tell you typically?
They broke up.
That would be ding, ding, ding. Bingo. Yeah,
my time to shine.
Well said, Will. Indeed. So I guess where we're at with the Bucks in the 11th spot in the Eastern Conference as it stands at 6:03 p.m. on December 3rd, it looks like Giannis could be trending toward, hey, trade me.
It certainly looks like we are in the early stages of a breakup between Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. I do think Doc's comments just a few minutes ago, we saw him via Eric Name, are worthy of adding into this whole conversation. Doc said, where is it? Can you find it quicker than me?
Yes, I got it.
I want to make it clear I want to say one more time for the 50th time, and that's not me bad reading, that's how he said it. Nope. This is direct quote.
I want to say one more time for the 50th time.
And clearly it's not getting to one network for sure. Giannis has never asked to be traded ever. I can't make that more clear. Now, as us here, I describe it as Aaron Rodgers PTSD, it's very important to read exactly what they're saying and read it exactly as it's being said, because in this situation, Doc could be technically correct. Mm-hmm. Giannis could have never asked for a trade from the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's true.
But as we saw, as you so bravely pronounced his name,
Alex Tsiratsis.
In Shams' tweet, he was mentioned. Mm-hmm. So could his agent have asked for a trade and Giannis not doing it particularly? Because that's a way to sort of find a gray area.
That's a way to beat around the bush, Joshy. But I struggle with that theory, considering the specific wording of Doc Rivers and how transparent he typically is. If my agent asks for my release or for my trade, right?
Yeah.
In whatever context, whatever you're talking. If your agent asks for a trade and you are the player, We assume showing up to work tonight is the Bucks have a game in 55 minutes. It's not. I don't think you can walk around and just be like, no, I don't want to trade. Which is what Doc Rivers is making.
I think it's important here to read Giannis has never asked to be traded. The topic of Giannis requesting a trade or getting traded or he getting traded, those are all different. The specific mentioning of Giannis to me is informative. Because
I struggle with that. I struggle to agree with you on that.
I mean, that's fine.
That would have to be an incredibly calculated phrasing.
Oh, you don't. You don't
phrasing
think,
by Doc Rivers.
You don't think Doc and the entire team sat together and said, "How are we going to address this question today?"
We're going to address it with Giannis has not asked for a trade.
Yes,
like they have all year.
Who do you think is? You think they're just a fly by night operation? You think they're just saying, "Doc, go out there and answer it how you'd like to."
But you don't think you know better. That you know better that that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying there's no PR staff at the Milwaukee Bucks. My point is that that would have to be incredibly calculated to the point where you have to thread the needle on the way you were speaking about the situation.
Yeah.
You and I know Doc Rivers better than that. It's not like he's sitting up there thinking, "Okay, I'm going to be really calculated in my response." The guy just shoots. He shoots it pretty straight.
You don't shoot from the hip when it's Giannis and a trade request.
Sure.
We're getting caught in the minutia. Do you think Giannis is more likely than not to be traded? Do you think we are heading towards
I do not believe he will be traded this season.
Wow.
I do not. I think he'll be traded after the season. I do think he will be traded. I just do not think it will be
traded. I find that hard to believe that's not just burying your head in the sand a little bit.
You said that in the summer, too.
Yeah, and guess what? We're now getting even closer. Because before... And this has subtly changed. Bucks Twitter, who is also nice to everybody, and they invite everyone.
Yes.
They're very welcoming.
Very nice, yes.
The tone has changed, and it's been clear that the tone has changed. Because before, when we talked about it, we were just ESPN funding, trying to pay the bills and create headlines. Now everyone, I mean, I heard it on KBN. People are saying, "Get out of here, Giannis. Take a hike.
Well,
you don't want to be here."
I mean, so you referred to it as Aaron Rodgers PTSD, which I don't necessarily disagree with here on the Weekly Wager, live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, world class sportsbook, where you could even
the best
things like the Bucks winning the NBA title. By the way, they were tied for 15th best odds in the NBA. Though
Let's
Giannis
go.
For MVP, number five in those odds. So you referred to it as Aaron Rodgers PTSD, which
yep.
I think is a fair phrasing, right? Because it's the will he, won't he, will he, won't he, will he, won't he, which we are officially not quite to that level, but we are skating in that territory now with Giannis.
We're getting damn close.
Where it is, okay, is he going to get traded or is he going to stay? Is he going to ask for a trade or is he going to stay?
Well,
is
to
he going
it,
to win to, another championship or is he going to
To
leave?
Make it full Aaron Rodgers, this news leaking, we would have to see now for three seasons and leaving us up in the air. I do think the news that Brian Windhorst reported of he requested a trade to the Knicks and then recommitted himself to the Milwaukee Bucks is different than what we were hearing in the offseason. That's new information.
It's a step further. It is.
Yes.
Right? Because I think
the Bucks were linked to the Knicks in a Giannis trade, but there was never Giannis asked to be sent there.
The verbiage in the offseason particularly was he is mulling his future.
Yes.
He is contemplating
yes.
his future. And obviously then they go and sign both of his brothers. They sign Alex to a G League deal and bring back Thanasis for the first time in 2 years. And then that was a pretty clear indication, okay, he'll be back. Now, obviously, he skipped Bucks Media Day. I use skipped loosely, apparently, according to the Bucks. He tested positive for COVID, met with the media remotely on Bucks Media Day. But that was when he recommitted to the Bucks. And
yeah.
I think you and I can agree on this. When it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo, we know two things about him. Two things. Number one, he's why are you looking at me like
I heard a noise.
Is someone's stomach growl?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Sorry, I'm a Pottawatomie Sportsbook in the world-famous kitchen,
I saw you
man.
Scarfed down that pretzel. You still hungry?
I thought left his mic on and, like, belched in the background. No, that was your stomach.
It was a little bubble that floated up as I was speaking. I just thought we could ignore it and be professionals. If you know two things about Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's how they define the three of us together in one room. Professionals. If we know two things about Giannis Antetokounmpo, it is one, that he is incredibly loyal. He is. There's no denying.
Yes.
And number two, he really wants to win another
yes.
championship. And I thought you said it best earlier today on Mr. Irrelevant, and that was?
That Giannis wants to win more. Giannis loves winning more than he loves the Milwaukee Bucks. And I don't think that's me being like insulting. I think that's just a simple fact of the matter. Mm-hmm. He is amongst the most insane of competitors. He wants to win. That's why every year we hear we're mulling all our options, we're considering it, because he wants everyone in the organization, top to bottom, to be as committed to winning championships as he is, and that's his way of making sure everyone's along for the ride. Him requesting trades and seeking trades and his agent being in talks and determining his future, to me, is it's a different step, it's a further step, and it makes it more real. I think I said in the offseason, we are now closer than ever to Giannis being traded and no longer being a Milwaukee Buck, and I think we've taken another step forward.
I do believe we're closer than ever. I agree with that. And I do believe we are going to get to a solution. I just don't think it will be this season. Now, could there be some conversation as we move closer and closer to the deadline, which is about 2 months away? Yes, I do think there is an opportunity for more conversation. I just don't think that we are at the point where, when it comes to a two-time MVP and a guy that is viewed as one of the, top three players in the world, mm-hmm. that anybody's going to come up with mid-season compensation for an asset of that level. And that still has to play a role here. Just because he requests a trade doesn't necessarily mean you trade him, even if you view this as a lost season.
I think while I agree generally with your point, I also think that the reason this news is coming out 2 months ahead of the trade deadline is a concerted and deliberate effort to try and make sure the compensation. Because if he is dead set on the New York Knicks, there needs to be multiple teams involved. Mm-hmm. The Knicks don't have the compensation. They aren't going to be able to make a trade work. So that's where teams like the Atlanta Hawks come in. I've seen other people. I don't think Giannis wants to go to San Antonio. I don't think that's part of it. I don't think he wants, because, I mean, that's Wemby's team. Mm-hmm. That's his franchise. Mm-hmm. And
if he can play.
As much
if he can stay healthy.
Yes. As much as we all think Giannis is like a fairly humble guy, he also has an ego. And he wants it to be his team. And he would be going to New York and it would be immediately his team. As good as you might think Jalen Brunson is. So to me, it's going to be somebody that has assets already that would be willing to be the third party of a trade. And who knows, it could go even further than that. But that's sort of what you need for these trades to come together. They can't be done overnight or in a short period of time.
I don't mean to be short-sighted, but I think a win tonight at Fiserv Forum goes a long way. The Bucks tweeted about an hour ago that Giannis will play tonight. He was listed as probable with a left adductor strain injury management. So it was effectively time management for that. Left adductor strain? Am I saying that right?
Abductor?
No, there's an adductor and an abductor.
Oh, yeah. So it is the adductor.
What's the difference?
Physiology guy. One's going out, one's going in.
Like your adductor. Isn't it just like the opposite side?
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Your adductor is like your groin.
He was listed probable for injury management. He will play tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks against the 17-4 and top seed in the Eastern Conference Detroit Pistons, who are just unbelievable. They have played some really good basketball this year. The Bucks at 9-13, currently sitting outside of the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference. A win tonight, I think, could go a long way about this commentary. That doesn't mean it turns the season around. That doesn't mean that their championship odds at Potawatomi Sportsbook are going to skyrocket because of a Wednesday night win in early December. That's not what I'm saying. I just think it quiets the outside noise at least a tad, and that could be helpful for this team moving forward.
I think the additional factor we need to add to this
You said ad, I said Uctor.
Oh, ad, Uctor. Gotcha. I think that's we need
stupid.
To... Yeah, waste
right
time.
Over his head.
I just didn't understand what you said. You just said, ah.
Because it was so stupid.
I said Uctor.
I think the additional thing we need to consider here, and I think is heavily weighing on everyone, is the Bucks just plainly aren't good.
No, it's very clear that this isn't a championship recipe,
yeah.
Right?
And that's what... That's what tips the scales. So you could say, yeah, win goes a long way. What's the odds of this game from our friends here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook? I can't imagine they have the Bucks favored. Obviously, it moves now that Giannis is confirmed in.
The Pistons are favored by 4.5. The Bucks plus 145 on the money line.
Yeah, so, I mean, that has them at what, like a 20% chance of winning this game?
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Hey, it's the NBA. They play 82 games for a reason.
Yeah.
Never seen a team go, what would they be, 78-4? As the Pistons only with 4 losses on the season right now?
It's just all things seem to be pointing in a bad direction. I don't feel good about it. I do think I think the agent in the Shams tweet means more than maybe we're treating it, because that seems like, hey, I'm putting our names on this.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is what is so different. The reports in the past had been Giannis is, you know, the whole, we know it well, like the back of our hand. It's not even worth repeating because we've heard it now for 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it different to me is we are now attaching names because we've been given permission to attach names.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the step that really makes me think that the end is closer than we all wish it to be.
Ian Eadie's Troy on the Carbo Stock and Text Line, 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776, says, this is Rodgers. I've been immunized all over again. Giannis's agent clearly asked for a trade, and Milwaukee is putting Giannis in the best light without throwing him under the bus. And that, it seems like Ian agrees with where Josh is at.
That's sort of where I am with the cutting the fine line. You're treating Doc as a little less calculated. I think he's been in this game long enough.
Oh, for sure. But this one's unique, man. This one's really unique.
And I think you might be getting a unique performance out of Doc out of it.
And this has been a unique show thus far on the Weekly Wager 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin
Will,
app.
What would you grade Stroff's first segment?
I mean, it went so many different places. I'd probably give him a 6 out of 10.
I boost that up a little bit because of the tummy growl. The tummy growl.
Yeah, the tummy growl might be down to 5.5.
Are you admitting it was just a growl? It wasn't like a bubble or whatever you tried to say. Like you're just
well, no, it wasn't. It bubbled up.
You're just a little hungry boy.
I think that's a growl. I am a little hungry boy. That's exactly what I am. The Mr. Irrelevant Takeover Weekly Wager. Alex Groff, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers with you. We will get into Bears Week coming up next. Big one coming up at Lambeau Field. The 9-3 Bears. The 8-3-1 Packers. The winner Sunday at Lambeau will walk out in sole possession of first place in the NFC North. Where are we putting our money this weekend? We will talk a little bit about that coming up next right here on the Weekly Wager.
We're back talking bets after this on the Weekly Wager on 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah, Weekly Wager with you. 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. I'm Alex Stroff in for Ben Bruss tonight alongside Josh E. DiMaggio. Will Summers in for Chris Larson is running the show, a Mr. Irrelevant takeover of sorts here of the Weekly Wager. Josh E. and I are live at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It is the best in class sportsbook. There is nothing like this in Wisconsin. There is nothing like this in the Midwest. Shoot, it's better here than half the sports books in Vegas, man.
Uh-huh.
With the giant video screen, the world-class kitchen, and all the comfortable seating to watch every single big game you possibly could. Get on over to the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and bet above the rest. All right, big one coming up at Lambeau Field, Josh, on Sunday.
Big one.
We have talked about this aplenty across ESPN Wisconsin this week as the 8-3-1 Packers will play host to the 9-3 Chicago Bears, who are in first place of the NFC North, and currently, as it stands through 13 weeks, the top seed in the entire conference of the NFC. The Packers are 6.5-point favorites in this one, Josh, and that's because, frankly, nobody's really buying the Bears, despite the 9-3 record and a nice win over the reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles last Friday. So, I as much as we've talked about this, I keep going, okay, I think I know how this could play out, but also I don't know how this could play out, because despite winning 3 in a row, are we completely sold this Packers team has it right back on the rails and the Super Bowl train is back a-cruising on its way to Santa Clara?
No. There's two main things. We saw just last week the Chicago Bears win on the back almost exclusively of their run game, What makes it interesting is the Packers lost probably their best run defender in Devontae Wyatt for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. They are now signing guys off of practice squads to their active roster to fill the holes that they have there. So it is not a foregone conclusion if the Packers, which the Packers have been a pretty good run defense, even though we've seen the games where they've basically teams have been able to play keep away from them. And that's the process to beating the Packers in this game coming up. So I have a fear that the run defense is going to take a while to adjust without Devontae Wyatt. And some of those guys are going to be stretched too thin or put into position where they're just not really prepared for it. On the other side of the ball, we have hope, a little bit of case for optimism that we've seen the new Packers for the rest of the season, the new offense that has run through Jordan Love, that is relying on the depth they have at wide receiver. The clear step forward we've seen from Christian Watson and the remarkable play we've seen from Jordan Love. I also think another part of that is the offensive line seems to have improved greatly, which has been part of the issue for the Packers so far this season. Aaron Banks wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. He was in and out of the lineup. He seemed to have turned a corner. Matt LaFleur said as much today in his press conference. And they're replacing Jordan Morgan at right guard with Anthony Belton and Sean Ryan with Elgton Jenkins, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
Those have all somehow come together and made them a better, more consistent unit. So the Packers are able to do more of the things that they've been trying to do
all season.
They're
certainly bigger. Are we completely sold they're better up front?
I think by the numbers, yes, they are.
Anthony Belton didn't have the greatest Thanksgiving at right guard.
He gave up more pressures than you would like to see.
It was six, I think I saw.
But he's a rookie left tackle who...
playing right guard.
Right guard. So there is going to be a little... And he's going to get... They're going to throw everything they have at him because he's the young guy.
Yeah.
So he just sort of has to meet it. But the difference in the run game, I think, jumped off the screen.
Oh, it was dramatic. Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was dramatic.
Josh Jacobs had holes and had more space than I'd seen all season long.
And the thing that makes him so good, on top of obviously having some room to operate now, which, yes, as we know, he's been getting smoked behind the line of scrimmage nonstop.
One of the worst yards before contact in all the NFL, which is not a Josh Jacobs stat, it's an offensive line stat.
But what makes Josh Jacobs the all-pro he is how decisive he is, yes, when he has holes and when he has opportunities to make big plays. I remember sitting last week on Thanksgiving, I think it was a 3rd-and-3 or a 3rd-and-4, and I went, well, they're going to run it because that's just what LaFleur's offense does. And they did run it for an 18-yard gain, which was the largest of the day for Josh Jacobs in his return to the lineup. So with Emmanuel Wilson playing the way he is, with Josh Jacobs seemingly back and healthy mostly, at least for the most part for him, and the offensive line playing better than they have all year, you love that the run game can get back to where it was, or at least close to what it was a year ago. Now, here's the other part of the offense that you haven't mentioned, and I know you really want to mention it. Their quarterback is playing out of his freaking mind right now.
I did mention him, by the way.
Will?
Will, did I mention? Yep, I said their quarterback's playing extremely
5 out of 10 now.
When I talk, do you just zone out?
No.
I
was adding on to things you said. Of course I don't zone out. I was literally complimentary.
So you're a part-time listener.
We were playing complimentary radio right there.
Full-time host, part-time listener.
Full-time yapper, yes. Part-time
could never listener. Be me.
I think Jordan Love doesn't have the counting stats, but he has been playing to the level of an MVP. I think the Packers win a couple big games here, he's going to find himself right in the MVP conversation. Right now at Potawatomi, he's a distant third to both Drake May and Matthew Stafford. We actually saw a flip-flop. Stafford was the favorite. Now it is Drake May.
After Monday night.
Yeah, I do think there is potential, though, because I think we all are a little suspicious of the Patriots.
A little bit. 10 in a row is not a small feat by any means.
And
they looked awesome against the Giants on Monday, much more convincing than the Packers were for you a few weeks ago.
But I think we all have a little bit of the, Drake May has been amazing, unbelievable, but they could fall apart, which then opens up opportunity for the Green Bay Packers. We also saw the Rams, who looked like the for certain best team in the NFL mm-hmm. for probably 3-4 weeks there, show a little bit of their warts. I don't think it's going to lead to like some big massive problem, but those teams dropped some games. The Packers in a 1 or 2 seed, and Jordan Love, the offense running through him and him playing that well, it's going to change the narrative for that. So I hope we've seen enough from Jordan Love throughout the course of the season that the offensive coaching staff, i.e. Matt LaFleur, decides, yes, we need to run the ball and Josh Jacobs needs to be a factor, but we don't need to be so reliant on the run game. We can confuse more defenses, we can be less predictable, and we know the guy we have back there simply isn't turning the ball over and is providing us explosive plays at every opportunity.
Just some quick cleanup. Currently at Potawatomi Sportsbook, Jordan Love fourth in MVP odds. Oh. You forgot about Dak Prescott. So it goes Drake May -125, Stafford +125, Dak +1200, Jordan Love +1500.
Gotcha.
So he's right behind Dak. Yeah. They're viewed almost the same. Dak yeah. a little bit more of an edge.
Dak, and you want to know why I did that? Because Dak to me is not
an MVP
eligible.
Candidate. Well, yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, he's not going to win the
right. Year. And even if they are a 6-7 seed, MVPs. Jeez.
6-7.
MVPs typically don't come from anyone other than the 1 or 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it goes because team success is as important because it's most valuable player.
Right.
So even it, I mean, Dak's been incredible and I think he's probably deserving if you do like the by the analytics type thing. But we just know now after being around long enough to see how these awards typically go.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Want to continue talking Packers, but want to talk NFC, NFL, MVP, all those at large as we continue to look around. We're already in the month of December. I know that's hard to believe for a lot of us football fans. It is December 3rd today. We only have a couple weeks left of the regular season in the National Football League. Just 5 games left for the Green Bay Packers as we enter week 14. The Packers and Bears, 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau Field coming up on Sunday. The Packers, 6.5-point favorites. We will continue to look at the NFL. And, of course, the best bets still to come is first place Joshy DiMaggio shows up tonight. Second place Benny Bruss doesn't want to show his face.
You read it up backwards.
Oh, I thought you were in first place.
No, I had a very, very bad record, and I've gotten myself to 4 games under 500.
Well, I'd like to apologize to Ben Brust.
Yeah. He's 25-19, so that's a good
He's having a good year.
Record.
He's having a good year. You, on the other hand, you're losing money.
I was at one point like 10 games back.
Oh, so you're climbing back.
Yes.
You've got it all figured out now. We'll get to the best bets when we wrap up the show, but coming up next, we look at the rest of the NFL season live from Potawatomi Sportsbook. It is the Weekly Wager.
We're back talking bets after this on the Weekly Wager on 94.5 ESPN.
The Weekly Wager continues live from Potawatomi Sportsbook. Bet above the rest at Potawatomi. Alex Strove, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers with you on this Wednesday night. Talking a little ball on this Wednesday. Right, Josh? That's what we do. We know ball.
We know ball. Did you see I told somebody they didn't know ball? It was a Bears fan.
I did not see that. What happened?
They said...
Got into a little tiff again?
No, it was just... A Bears fan tweeted out something along the lines, if we make Jordan Love throw the ball, the Bears will win, which is... You know, just watch a game one time for me, please. That's all I ask.
Would you consider yourself the, what's the right word to use here? The determiner, the determinant of who does and does not know ball?
I would say I have a fairly good grasp. There are certainly people who know a lot more ball than me.
Sure.
Former players, former coaches, people like that. But I would say I take a pretty serious approach to the way I evaluate football.
And you know ball.
And I do know ball.
Does Will Summers, our producer back at the Gerber Law Office Studios, know ball? As a Bears fan.
I think he knows as much ball as any Bears fan can.
Thank you.
I think he has an exclusive right to what bad quarterback play is, what bad coaching is.
Sure.
I don't know if he would know what quarterbacking is.
Bad quarterbacking and bad coaching, wouldn't that be a ball knower that can know who doesn't know ball?
You could argue that, but I would question his ability to know great players.
Yeah, I know when things are about to go bad. I can see that from a mile away.
He's got a sixth sense.
And when this program started at 6 o'clock, he said in our ears, this is about to go bad.
No.
I did not say that.
No, would never do that.
See, that's right, a Packers Super Bowl. Fans. Do they make things up? Well, I never said that.
Super Bowl odds.
Or maybe just Stroh says that. Book.
Rams plus 450 are the favorites still. You agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, I think we're getting a little cute with we don't know who's good or not.
But we're not, Joshy. There's one team that looks really good. That's the Rams.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm saying, like, I think we know for sure the Rams are a good team.
But that's it.
Yes, I also agree there. And I think the odds are very interesting in that it's four NFC teams to start, and then the fifth team, the Bills, is the first AFC you see on it. Yeah. And then it's a big group of the Bills, Broncos, and Patriots, all of them at plus 1,000 or plus 1,100. Mm-hmm. So they tell you, the great people here at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook are telling us, yeah, we really don't know which one of these guys is going to be the AFC representative.
But that's the
in
thing,
the Super Bowl.
But that is the thing about the AFC that makes it really confusing, because at the top it's all young teams.
Yes,
right? It's Denver and it's New England and it's just these. It's Indianapolis, right? It's these teams that kind of came out of nowhere, right? You look at New England. We talked about this a bit earlier today. This is a team that I don't think anybody expected to be in the playoff chase, in the division race, and let alone at the top of the AFC. Denver, that's a division that is reserved at the top for Kansas City. When it comes to Indianapolis, I mean, seriously, you expected Daniel Jones to turn that team into a 9-1 team?
He's playing with a broken leg, too. Like that. Those odds, I think, are going to continue to tank.
Well, I think so, too. But given the start, I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, they looked like the best team in football for a few weeks.
The division leaders through the first 11 or 12 weeks was like it was 2012 all over again. Mm-hmm. It was Denver and New England and Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, right? I mean, you're looking at all these teams and you're like, did Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady magically reappear? Andrew Luck, right?
Yes.
Like, it was very confusing. So they're all young and unproven teams. Right now, Kansas City on the outside looking in, that's a conference that has, for the last however many years, been only won by Kansas City.
Right.
So, with exception to, 2021 with Cincinnati?
I will say, looking at the AFC Championship here and the odds, we've got Patriots plus 425, Bills plus 450, Broncos plus 450. Then it goes Colts, Ravens, and the Chiefs up at plus 800. I know the Chiefs are more likely than not to not be in the playoffs.
I'd still
plus 800 for them to represent the AFC. Like, isn't it really easy to see the Chiefs getting in as a 7 seed,
yes,
playing the Patriots, yes, dismantling the Patriots, winning another game, and then you're going, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is, it's happening again. So that's one I did sort of pick out as I don't know if I love them so much in the Super Bowl, because I do think they are more flawed than past years. That to me is pretty clear.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I also think they've had some bad luck go their way. They are on the wrong side of a lot of, like, I believe all of their losses this season are within one score, which is an indicator of, as we know, one score games. Usually if you lose a bunch, you'll win much more the next year. If you win a bunch, you'll lose more. Like, it just seems to inverse, and it's just something that's not sticky. I don't love them as a Super Bowl option, but them to come out of the AFC at plus 800, that's some pretty good money you could make there on a team. I think we all believe in Patrick Mahomes still. We all believe in Andy Reid still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they are a team that you cannot say they're dead until they're dead.
Right, and just think of the teams ahead of them. The Patriots, very good. Drake May is in a finalist for the MVP. They ain't winning the AFC their first time. Rookie, young quarterbacks, first time in the playoffs like this, typically do not.
Hold on, I would just say this. Without Kansas City as a roadblock, I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we said the same thing 4 years ago about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. It was only That was year two for Joe Burrow.
Right, and then they've been barely sniffing competitiveness.
It's because they only invested in skill position players and they didn't invest in offensive
That's what happens when you let your quarterback run your team. The Packers know a little bit about it.
just can't help himself when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just evaluating, being
honest.
He's
just a ball knower.
Yep. Just telling you how things go. I do think the NFC is pretty interesting. I do like the Packers as an option.
Plus 500 to win the NFC.
Yeah, because I'm still a little suspicious of the Rams. I'm also suspicious of Matthew Stafford's age and ability to maintain throughout the entire course of a season. if you remember in the offseason, there was like uncertainty about if he was going to be healthy enough to play. Mm-hmm. And now whatever they've done, they've figured it out. But that guy starts taking more and more hits, that back flares up, then that team completely falls apart at the seams. I don't believe in the Seahawks, and that's largely in part because of Sam Darnold. And then now we're talking Packers, Eagles, Lions. And I think the Eagles are on the verge of implosion. We've seen them avoid implosion last season, and then we saw implosion in 2023.
We did.
So those
not to the point they still won their division in 23, but they
and
lost
I think
in the
they still will
playoffs.
this season. I do think they'll probably get enough wins.
Yeah, 8-4 versus 6-5-1, which is where the Cowboys
come first round of the playoffs. We're all going to kind of look at them and go, even if they win one, we're not super concerned about them long term.
Yeah, and the Eagles and Cowboys do not play once again this season. However, the Cowboys' road could include a lot of wins. They visit Detroit this week, but after that, they are home against the Vikings, home against the Chargers, head to Washington, play the Commanders on Christmas, and then end the season at the New York Giants. That looks like a 4-1 stretch for Dallas to me, which would put them at 10-6-1 to end the year.
There's one important factor you're missing.
Which is?
The Cowboys doing Cowboy stuff.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
I won't argue with that.
They have... they are one of the few teams across all of sports where you can say, like, yeah, they've got a real opportunity here, and then opportunity smacks them across the face and they leave it on the field.
And it's not like the Eagles' schedule is terribly difficult either. They head to Los Angeles this week, Monday night, and play the Chargers, then return home, host the Raiders, then they're at the Commanders, at the Bills, home against the Commanders to end up the season. There's at least two wins there, which is all they would need likely to seal that division.
There's one thing in here, and this is a deep cut, and we could go back and find it. The current leader for Defensive Rookie of the Year was a guy I talked about in the offseason because I said it's Carson Schwechinger, the second-round pick for the Cleveland Browns, who immediately became a starter and then played every single snap. He's minus 715. That is the biggest leader in every category we have for the individual awards.
Other than Myles Garrett for defensive players.
Yes, and Myles Garrett is... going to break the single season sack record, which that makes it a pretty obvious selection there because it's hard.
Oh, you're already sold with what would they have? 5 games remaining.
Yeah, I mean
he needs one every game effectively.
Yeah,
because he's at 19,
and he has a potential to get 4 of them when he plays next.
Yep, that's just what he does.
Yeah, the leader in sacks in the NFL is Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons the past 5 weeks, and then. I mean, not Micah Parsons. Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett the last 5 weeks.
And then Micah Parsons. Yes, that's how dominant he has been.
I think Brian Burns is 13. So Brian Burns, then Micah Parsons. Regardless.
Correct,
Your point stands regardless.
Yeah, he's on a tear. He's unstoppable. And as you know, as these guys get closer to these awards, you don't want to say they play harder, but things seem to go their way in a
while. There's a nice little check that comes with winning that award.
Yes.
Right? There's a bonus built into every contract.
And
if you
there's the pride, and there's the...
Sure, but right. I mean, at the end of the day, Joshy, they're not playing for pride and championships in Cleveland.
No.
They're playing for one thing.
Yeah, to get Micah Parsons.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Cha-ching for Myles Garrett. All right, we will take a look at the best bets. We will look at 5 NFL games from each time slot coming up next as Ben Brust has submitted his picks, I believe, right?
He did?
Oh, I didn't get them.
I didn't get them either.
Oh, I just assumed.
I also
all right,
didn't
well
get
then,
them.
So does that mean I pick on behalf of Ben?
I think you have to. He was given ample opportunity and time.
All right. I serve as the guest picker on the Weekly Wager on behalf of Ben Brust. I bet he will poop his pants when he hears about this. That's coming up next as we wrap up the Weekly Wager, which, of course, is live and brought to you by our friends at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Bet above the rest at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and the world-class sportsbook. Best bets are next.
We're back talking bets after this on the Weekly Wager on 94.5 ESPN.
Best bets time right here on the Weekly Wager. Jammin' Joshy DiMaggio, Alex Rofe hanging out with you live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, the world-class sportsbook. You sounded like you had something to say. Were you just breathing heavy from your head banging?
Just ready, rocking out.
You were really rocking out right there. All right, just a standings check as I will serve as Ben Brust this week, who is 5 games ahead of Josh DiMaggio. 25-19 on the year with his best bets. Joshy DiMaggio, 20-24. So just to understand, you pick all of these games against the spread?
Correct, yes. We pick the games... we're doing this not in our like our favorite games, even though a lot of them aligned with that, because now we are into the flex season and when the NFL really has like their schedule figured out.
But premier games, right?
Right, but we were doing just the games people are most likely to watch. So if they were interested in betting on them and wanted to get action on them and come down to the Potawatomi Sportsbook, they could do it that way. So that's why they're all like the prime.
They're spread out. Thursday night, Sunday noon, Sunday through 25, Sunday night, and Monday night. All right, away we go. Ready to go?
I'm
showtime?
Ready.
Let's showtime. Do this thing. Thursday night action. It is the Dallas Cowboys at the Detroit Lions. The Lions, 3-point favorites.
Yeah, crazy high total in this game, as we expect. This game is going to be probably a blast to watch with touchdowns all over the place. I think the Detroit Lions at home are going to sort of put the Dallas Cowboys in their place. I like them minus the 3 points.
Just because I'm Ben Bruss this week, I'm going against it. Give me the Cowboys plus 3 in this one at Detroit with a point total, as you mentioned, Joshy, the highest of the games we will pick, 54.5. Let's move to Sunday noon. The Baltimore Ravens seemingly climbing back to the top of the AFC North, but if there's a team that can do anything about that, it is Aaron Rodgers, Pittsburgh Steelers. It's in Baltimore. The Steelers are 6-point dogs.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the health of Lamar Jackson. He hasn't looked like himself. Hopefully he's getting more healthy, but the important part here is the other side to me. I think the Steelers are garbage, and I think they're on they're on their way to imploding, much like we talked about with the Eagles. Aaron Rodgers refused to give the relax statement about this team.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think that's telling you he doesn't think they're
it
all that
good. It just means
they're
bad.
Yeah.
That's all that means.
I like the Ravens. It's a lot of points, more points than I would like, but it's time for the Ravens to take this division. They're still favorites to win it, and I think they start that here.
I think it'd be hilarious if I picked every game against you as Ben Brust. I'm not going to do that here, though, as I agree with you. I think Baltimore gets it by a touchdown. I will take Baltimore minus 6. Let's go. Let's save Packers for the end, right? Okay, yeah. Let's go to Kansas City then. Sunday night football is Houston looking to climb their way back into the fight in the AFC South, a division that now seems like it is wide open. They are 3-point dogs at the Chiefs.
This is going to be a Josh refuses to learn his lesson. I'm going to bet on the Chiefs. I think back against the wall. I think the Texans have played pretty well. Their offensive line is playing well. And CJ Stroud looked back and it looked good in his return back to the field after a 3-week concussion. I like the Chiefs because I don't think the Chiefs are done.
I said it earlier. You can't call the Chiefs dead until they're dead. Only giving them 3 points when they really, really need a win.
Yeah, at home.
When the lights are shining the brightest on Sunday night, I don't care how good that Houston defense is. I'm picking Patrick Mahomes every single time. Give me the Chiefs minus 3. Monday night football, sneaky, interesting game.
Yes.
The team that we aforementioned said, I think they're imploding. The Philadelphia Eagles are 3-point favorites as they visit Jim Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with they actually do end up imploding. The Chargers have leaned into their run game because of Justin Herbert's lack of health and because the way they have lost their two tackles, which are very good players. I think we see a lot of Amarian Hampton in his return, a lot of Kamani Vidal, and I like the home team getting 3 points against the Eagles.
Here's the thing about implosion, Joshy. It looks multiple ways.
Uh-huh.
Because there are two teams playing on Monday night that I think both of them are imploding a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably more fair to say about Philly, given the expectations. The expectations weren't as high for the Chargers, but they've been all over the place this year, too. Give me Philly minus 3. I think they covered the field goal on Monday Night Football. Final game, 1 minute to go. Bears at Packers. The Packers, 6.5-point favorites.
I'm going to take the Packers at home. I think the Packers are a clearly better team. I think the Bears' record is a little bit misleading. I think 6.5 tells you what Vegas thinks about it, what the people here at the Potawatomi Sports think about it, sportsbook. So I like the Packers minus 6.5. I think they win by 10 or more.
I do too, to be real honest with you. How many times may we take this disgrace, another Bears fan throwing insults in our face?
Oh, wow.
The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game, even though from time to time they play a little lame, but it won't be on Sunday. Give me Packers minus 6.5. That will do it for us on the Weekly Wager. How'd I do that?
Did you read a poem?
I read The Bears Still Suck by the Happy Schnapps Trio.
So dumb.
The combo, excuse me. Thank you, Will. Go Pack, go. You're Thanks, late. Joshy. Thanks to the Potawatomi Sportsbook. This has been
5.
The Weekly Wager.